And I'd like us to consider that question about laborers. How do laborers get called? Turn with me to Romans chapter 10 for just a moment. And this whole passage would be exciting to consider, but let's jump, please, to verse 15, or 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring glad tidings of good things. How are they going to preach except they be sent? The whole matter of this passage is dealing with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 10 begins with Paul expressing his heart's passion for that. The one thing that he cared about most, the one thing that he was burdened about, was that the gospel needed to be heard by his countrymen, Israel. His heart was broken that they're religious, but they weren't saved. And all that was needed was the declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power is in the gospel, but someone has to preach it. And how simple the gospel is and how inclusive it is of everybody, no matter what background, no matter how sinful, no matter how poor, no matter how educated or not educated, the gospel penetrates all into the heart of the one that would say, yes, Lord, I trust you. Forgive me of my sin. The gospel accomplishes that work. You know, we're living in a day today that is historic and it's phenomenal. And there's all kinds of things people want to tell you. We ought to do this politically. You ought to do that financially and all these things. That's not the great need of the day. None of that will solve any of this. What will solve the problems of our world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the time is short. Part of what seems to be happening in this world is Satan is doing all kinds of things to try to silence people from declaring the gospel. We don't have to go out and be nuts. We don't have to be idiots. We don't have to be bold and brashy. We just got to be willing to lift our name, the name of Jesus Christ with our voice and talk to other people. All of us need to be involved in this and we need to be witnessing. But part of what's needed is a time of reviving to where there are many yielding themselves and saying, somebody's got to go. Who's going to go for me? The Lord asks. Who will I send? Who's going to respond? As Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. The need is for laborers. How do laborers get sent? Now let me give you something just to highlight, and you can dig this out a little bit more. But let me turn to a few passages, and I want you to consider this idea of sending. Turn to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. And this one I've quoted already, but I just like us to look at it. Jesus gets to the end of a passage where his own heart is broken about all those that are lost, sheep without a shepherd, and he uses the harvest and so forth as an illustration, but he says this, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Now what I'd like to get a glimpse of for a moment is who does the sending and how does he do it? Who here, when the Lord Jesus says, pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers, who's he talking about? I'd like to submit he's talking about God the Father. Now I realize there could be a little discussion or perhaps a debate about that. But I would say he's talking about God the Father, because he said in John 15:1, my Father is the husbandman. In Isaiah 5:7, he said, it speaks about the vineyard of the Lord of hosts. God's husbandry mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3:9. So I'd suggest that the person here involved in the sending is God the Father. An interesting study is the words send. And in this case, it's a Greek word, ekbalo. And it's a word that means to cast out, to expel, to thrust out. Sort of a rough word. You know, as I pondered that when I was studying, I realized, you know, I went through a bit of a rough time when God was calling me to preach, first of all. And I went through a rough time when God was calling me to leave the youth pastorate to go to Nova Scotia. I'm the type of person, I don't like change. I like where I'm at. I like to get comfortable with that and keep things in order, and life's better. And all of a sudden, to be leaving where you feel secure, some like to call it our comfort zone. I suppose all of us have a comfort zone. Are you willing to leave your comfort zone if God were to call you? My background was accounting. I like numbers. They came easier to me. I don't vision myself, I never did, as a public speaker. And I'm amazed every time God gives me an opportunity to preach, that he would ever use me in that way. It's not a natural, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But I had to learn along the way, and it was right back at the crux of when he was calling. God delights to take the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. Why is that? So that no flesh would glory in his presence. So if you feel incapable, you qualify. You're not going to brag about it if God uses you in some way. You're going to lift your name, your voice, and praise God for the fact that, look what God did with even me. That's what he desires. But God the Father is the one that does the sending. Not Dave Kennedy. Not your pastor. Not your mom. We don't need mama called preachers. But we do need God-called preachers, and I'm convinced he's calling more than our responding. There's another passage let's turn to, and that's over to Acts 13. To John 17 and verse 18. John 17 and verse 18. And here Jesus says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so also sent I also sent them into the world. Now, let's ask the question here. Who is sending here? Again, it's Jesus speaking, but who's doing the sending? This is Jesus, the Son. I think first, Jesus was speaking about the Lord of the harvest, God the Father. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. God the Father does the sending. Here he's saying, well, and here it's correct too to say the Father, because even as thou hast sent me, but then Jesus is still speaking and he says, even so have I also sent them into the world. He's sending out his disciples, and it's Jesus doing the sending. But this is a different word than, this isn't ekbalo. This is a different Greek word. In fact, it happens to be the same Greek word that we read sent in Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. And for time's sake, I'd like to simply say this is what I'd call sort of the summary word about sending. It's a word that has to do with setting apart and sending away. Setting at liberty. All of these things are wrapped up in that word. I think it encompasses a calling. I think it encompasses a direction being given. And it encompasses a freedom to be able to go. But the Lord Jesus Christ is involved in sending. Again, it's not man that sends. It's God that sends, God the Father, God the Son. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 13. And in Acts chapter 13, this is what many would say is the beginning of the missionary movement, the missions in the history of the church. First, it was in Jerusalem, and then in Antioch, and there was great blessing of what God was doing. But now in the church is booming in Antioch. In verse 1 of chapter 13, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So there were five key leaders that were there. And it says that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia and from thence sailed to Cyprus. Now there's a couple words sent here, and if we look at verse 2, which is a little different word, but it's separate, but then down in verse 4, there's a word sent. Who is in verse 2 and verse 4? Who's involved in the sending? This is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is about that process of separating. It's the idea of setting something apart, putting a boundary about it, limiting, excluding, appointing someone. And in this, it reminds me of where it comes to when a person trains for the ministry and they've got all their training and they're called and there's a ministry they're given and they're ordained. You've observed an ordination. And often in the process of an ordination, you'll have other ordained men or deacons coming around and lay their hands and they pray over this one for God's blessing. And there's no magic. There's no special power that runs from the one into the other. But what is happening is the church in that situation is recognizing what they believe God has actually already done in calling and setting apart this person for the purpose of the ministry. The Holy Spirit, so, and think of it, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all involved in that. And there was quite a wrestling that I think these men probably went through in their prayers. They were fasting. It's like all of a sudden somebody's thinking, guys, you know, the Lord told us to the uttermost parts. You realize God's doing great things here, but we can't keep this news to ourselves. Somebody's got to go to the uttermost part. God laid that on their heart. And they began to pray about it. And they got so serious in their praying, they stopped their eating for a while. They were fasting. And ultimately, they became convinced of what God was doing. And God was specifically calling Saul and Barnabas, the first and the last mentioned in this, perhaps the leader and the intern, or you know, however it was. But he was calling them to go. And I think God had made it clear to them. And in their discussions, everybody could tell it. You know, back when God called us initially to go to Nova Scotia, we'd had a 7-year youth ministry at our church, and God was doing some wonderful things during those years. It's years of revival, years of trial in some ways, I suppose, but what we experienced was God working in many young people's hearts, and many of them are scattered serving the Lord. Many as laymen, but they're serving the Lord today, and quite a few actually in full-time ministry today. But I struggled with the call when God took us to Nova Scotia. I wrestled for a month. Nancy will tell you, every excuse in the book could be given. But God was doing something at that time, and every time I had an excuse, the next thing you know, some passage of Scripture came. And I was faced with, if I'm going to believe what that says, if I'm going to yield to what that says, my excuse is gone. But I had another one. And the Lord did the same thing. And I had another one, and I did the same thing. And it was boiling down in the end. Was I going to just trust God and obey? But then when I first talked to the pastor and began to talk to he wanted me to talk to some of the deacons. I still remember sitting with the father of, who's a deacon, but father of one of the key young people. It was a leader in our youth group, and he had several other sons coming through, and he didn't want this youth pastor that he was grateful for, and I'm thankful for that, but it was never me. It was what God was doing, but that was the relationship. But when we sat across breakfast and I began to tell him, this is what God has done. He stopped trying to talk me out of it because he could see God was in it. And I don't know exactly the struggles that they may have had in this, but I think in the midst of their fasting and their praying, these leaders all got convinced God's in this and Saul and Barnabas have got to go. But then I'd like us to notice that last passage, and we skipped to it, verse 3. But let's go back to verse 3. It says, and when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This is similar to the ordination, and I've been through both an ordination and I've been through a commissioning service, we like to call them. Where, again, it is very similar, laying on the hands and praying God's blessing, no magic, but there was a public declaration on my part. It was a public declaration on the church's part. We believe that God has called the Kennedys to go to Nova Scotia. And we as a local church are getting behind them and we're sending them. I've already answered my last question. Who here is sending? It's the local church. You know, there's a lot wrapped up in a local church that we're responsible for. We're responsible. We're the pillar and the ground of truth. Where we're responsible for the Word of God. Where we're responsible for the care of the flock. We're responsible for the giving out of the gospel in this local community. Reaching people for Christ here. But a part of what the local church is responsible for is the sending out of missionaries around the world. Now every church doesn't send somebody to everywhere. And every church can't necessarily support people everywhere. That'd be a nice thing to someday happen, who knows. But we can all do what we can do. And could I challenge a couple of focus on this? One, would you be willing to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers? Would you be willing tomorrow to still pray the same prayer? I've done the same thing and I know what happens. We'll do that and then we forget. Or we do that and we begin to ponder, could that be me? And we stop praying about it. Because it might be me. And it's not going to be all of us. It can't be. Who would send everybody? But would you as a church? And I know you're a missions-minded church, and I know you're doing much for missions. And my point is only, Would you pray and ask God to help you do even more? Because there's a need. And I'm rejoicing to see how God is blessing these that I told you about. God is calling. And God is providing. And God's answering prayer. One of my biggest struggles, way back when, I was a youth pastor. And I had a youth pastor's salary. And I like to joke about the fact it wasn't much, and it wasn't. But at least I knew what was coming next month. And I wrestled with, and I remember asking one of our missionaries, it was home on furlough, Jim, would you please tell, what is this deputation thing all about? And he didn't answer me the way I wanted him to. But he answered me the way I needed to hear it. He just said this, Dave, he said, I don't know how to tell you how it works, but I'll tell you this, if God's called you, he's going to take care. And you know the Lord did, and he's still doing it. And my biggest problem and what I needed was, I needed to need so that I could see God answer prayer. And it built my faith some. And it encouraged me. Now, folks, we're in a great need today. And I frankly don't know. It can't be that long before the Lord comes, it seems to me. But till he comes. And if it's going to be another 20 years, what are you going to do with it? Would you be willing to pray the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers? Would you as a church pray about, well, I wonder if there's something more we could do. And let God do it. Not a guilt trip. I'm not here. I'm not that kind of preacher. I'm not trying to. I just want to challenge. I want to encourage you. And wouldn't it be special to see God open the windows of heaven and do some special things and send others, some other souls won, some other churches planted because of what God did in your hearts. You know, there's more stories we could tell, but our time has passed tonight. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the blessing to be able to rehearse these testimonies of what you're doing. Lord, I thank you for each of the missionaries. You give Nancy and I the joy to work with. And Lord, I pray that you'd send more. I pray you'd allow us to be some help. I pray you'd allow this church to be a help to many more missionaries along the way. Thank you for all that they do. And I pray you'd increase what can be done. Lord, I especially pray for laborers that there might be some even here. Lord, could there be one in this congregation? And it may be something that you've been touching on their heart already about. And tonight just sort of brings that to the forefront in their heart and their mind again. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to be especially serious and tender about praying, seeking your will. I pray that you'd do some things that might nudge them along to take the step needed to come to fruition, whatever your will is. I pray there'd be some yielding in hearts in a way that would honor and glorify thee. We'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.